timing is something that the Lord is in tune with. And sometimes when we make our requests, the timing we prefer is right now. And He is a right now God. But sometimes in His will, in His foresight, in His plan, it doesn't quite fit with what we think. But how the Lord works and operates is very important. So in Galatians chapter 4, we're told about the timing that the Lord had in mind. Galatians chapter 4, we'll read 4, 5, and 6. And here we see the timing aspect as the apostle writes. When the fullness of the time was come, God sent forth His Son, made of a woman, made under the law, to redeem them that were under the law, that we might receive the adoption of sons. And because you are sons, God hath sent forth the Spirit of His Son into your hearts, crying, Abba, or Father. God sent forth. That's the emphasis I want to make today on this passage of Scripture. And I'm thankful that the Lord's not stingy. We sang about Him being generous. And I'm glad that that's the essence of God, the character of God, the attributes of God, that He pours it out in abundance. And I'm thankful that His grace, His goodness, His glory comes in those measures. Amen. And we know judgment is a part of God's character as well, but He gives us the opportunity to exempt ourselves from that. That's not going to be a part of what we're going to experience, but the glory and the blessing of the Lord. Amen. You can be seated. The Lord bless you. We look in the Bible stories, and we're aware of how the Lord would impart commands and give instruction and to the finest detail. I'm glad our God is able to direct us and say, well, this is what you got to do. It's up to you to figure it out. Good luck. Hope you make it. God doesn't work with us in that way. Noah was given commands and was given detailed commands. And it took years, decades, in fact, even more than a century for Noah to fulfill the construction of the ark. But he obeyed, and even as God sent the directions to him and sent the instructions, he was able to fulfill. Abraham, being called out of his homeland, where he was a wealthy man even at this point, and so likewise his father, but the Lord sending him and directing him to get thee out of thy kindred, from among thy kindred, and from thy father's house. And there was a reason for that separation, a reason for that calling out, a reason for God sending him to on a journey that he had no idea what the destination was, except that God was going to direct him and provide. And God told him, I will make of thee a great nation. I will bless thee. I will make thy name great. And in thee all the families of the earth will be blessed. That was God's will. That was what he had to commit himself to. There was a reason that God would separate him from where he was and send him into the promised land and the place that he would be. Abram, as he was known at that time, was 75 years old. That's not when you jump up and down about a journey to this magnitude or this distance or this length. But he journeyed. And the Bible says he built an altar and he called on the name of the Lord. And he had 100 more years to serve the Lord. And he did so with obedience and with commitment and with a recognition that God is great and his power is going to be fulfilled. We know all the elements of the journey at that from that point on, how Lot was rescued, how Isaac was born, and how the promises of God were fulfilled in a great way. Thank the Lord that he was willing to go. And a number of verses in Hebrews 11 that would describe those who obeyed God and responded in faith are dedicated to Abraham and Sarah and how the Lord would provide and bless. I think about Moses, likewise, being sent. The burning bush experience where God said, I am that I am, and described to him the greatness of his power and of his glory, and how that he said, I've heard the cry of my people Israel down in Egypt, and I'm going to send you. Well, Moses argued with the Lord. Probably not a good idea to do that too often. Probably not a good idea to do that at all. It's better just to say, yes, Lord. I hear your voice, I see your word, I know what your will is, and I am willing to obey and follow through. But Moses had a reluctance. Moses had are you sure, God, you want to use me, you want to send me? I'm in one passage of Scripture, Exodus 4 and 13, it looks a little different in the King James, but when you look at a modern translation, a modern version, Moses is basically saying, send somebody else. And maybe he's looking 40 years before when he tried to bring deliverance, he tried to make a difference and failed miserably. And that was maybe what was holding him back. Don't let mistakes hold you back from stepping forth and obeying the Lord. Don't let failures seem final. Amen. Learn from those failures. Thomas Edison said, we didn't fail 1,000 times. We just found 1,000 times that didn't work. But eventually we did. And we thank Thomas Edison for the illumination that we enjoy today, because it's been improved upon and changed and made different. And there's been a lot of benefits that would come from it. But Moses was sent back to Egypt. He was sent to Pharaoh. He was sent to deliver Israel out of bondage. And thank God that whole story is what we've been looking at in our Bible lessons the last few Sundays. And that whole story is what you can read in the book of Exodus and on into Leviticus and Numbers and then Deuteronomy. It's there again and again as the Lord would lead his people, guide them, direct them, send them into the promised land. And thank God the Lord and his power did not fail them. They failed to follow through on occasion because, you know, we recognize humanity and its fickleness and its lack of faith, and sometimes we exhibit those aspects. But God continues to lead us. God continues to help us. And thank God we can step up and do the work of the Lord. Jonah was sent to Nineveh. You talk about a reluctant prophet. Most of us would be excited about revival. Most of us would be thrilled with the aspect that God is going to do something powerful. God is going to change people's lives. God is going to turn a whole nation around. God is going to show his power. Not Jonah. He said, nope, I'm going somewhere else. Well, he did go somewhere else. What an amazing journey he ended up on. And finally agreed to be sent to Nineveh and then backslid in his own revival. That's amazing, isn't it? God help us. Amen. To continue on in the work of the Lord. I think about Daniel. Daniel and several of his colleagues, several of the young men, the young people of the nation of Judah were selected. The king of Babylon instructed one of his administrators, go out and find some young men. Go and find some who are intelligent, some who show aspects of wisdom. And they look like they could be made into leaders and workers in my government and in my administration. Go and find them and then send them to Babylon. And so that's what happened. And we know the story in the book of Daniel, several of the things that happened, you know, the fiery furnace and the interpretation of Nebuchadnezzar's dream and the favor that God gave to the young men. And then the jealousy of others who were in the kingdom. And they targeted Daniel and his colleagues. The decree was written by Darius. By the way, this is the third king now that Daniel is serving under. The third one. And I'm thankful that God is faithful in every aspect to bring you through, no matter what changes, no matter what takes place, no matter what happens. God is there to lead you, just as he did Daniel. The king made the decree. He was duped into it. He was fooled. He was deceived. Didn't change Daniel's lifestyle. He prayed three times a day, just like he had done for all the time that he was captive in the nation of Babylon. Prayer was a problem, but it was also an answer for Daniel. And his destination ended up being the lion's den. That was actually written in the decree. Anybody who makes a petition of anybody else other than the king, that's where you're going to go. Didn't matter to Daniel. He still called upon the Lord. And Darius couldn't back up on his word. The decree was the decree. It was written. The law of the Medes and the Persians could not be thwarted. Thank God we know a word also that is not going to change. Thank God we know the word of God is going to come to pass. The law of the Medes and the Persians may have come and gone. And thank God that it does change. But God's word does not change. And that's what we put our faith in. That's what we put our trust in. Daniel knew the writing of Darius was signed. He knew it was the law of the Medes and the Persians. But he continued to pray. And the lion's den was his destination. But guess what? The king set his heart on Daniel to deliver him, trying to figure out a way of deliverance, trying to provide an out for Daniel. But Daniel was sent to the lion's den. A stone was rolled over the top of that den. It was sealed with the king's seal, that the purpose might not be changed, the Bible says. But thank God, Daniel had purposed in his heart long before this moment, long before this day came, and God brought forth his power and his purpose, and deliverance came. Because Daniel was able to report the next morning, God hath sent his angel to shut the mouths of the lions. Praise God. I'm thankful that the power of God can be displayed in that way. I'm thankful that God shows his power. We sang about it. With his angels, he watches over me. Oh, I'm thankful we have that power and that blessing and that goodness of God. Hallelujah. And the accusers then were cast down into the lion's den. And their mouths were suddenly opened. The angel had shut the mouths of lions when Daniel was there. But when Daniel was hauled out of that den and his accusers were cast down, the change came. Another change was made with Darius. He wrote a new decree. He said, the God of Daniel is the one who delivers and rescues. The God of Daniel is the one who works signs and wonders. I'm thankful that he's still that kind of God. He's still the one who rescues and delivers. He's still the one who works signs and wonders. He's still the one that we put our trust in. And how many times has the Lord dispatched angels on your behalf. How many times has God sent his angels to minister to you? Oh, only eternity is going to reveal the times that the Lord kept you safe, that the Lord delivered you from your adversary, the roaring lion, the many times that God was there to provide his blessing and his goodness in your midst. And I'm glad that we can pray. I'm thankful that we can ask God, send your angels. Shut the adversary's mouth. He's trying to discourage me. He's trying to bring me down. He's trying to defeat me. Shut his mouth, God. Hallelujah. And oh, I believe God delights in answering that kind of prayer. And angels being dispatched on your behalf to minister the hand of God, to provide his blessing in your life. And the adversary, the accuser, is going to be cast down. There's a bottomless pit. There's a lake of fire. Thank God. He is going to be cast into that place. Oh, hallelujah. God, give us the faith to hold on. God, give us the strength to walk on. Joseph had many problems. The pit, Potiphar's house, the prison, but the palace was waiting. The palace was in his future. The palace was going to be where he ended up. Amen. And he would tell his brothers, God sent me before you. Hallelujah. I'm glad he had that perspective. I'm glad hate was not there building up in his heart. Paybacks was not what was on his agenda. He recognized God hath sent me before you so that there would be preservation. There would be salvation. There would be deliverance. Hallelujah. Thank God that the Lord in his will already knows what he's going to do in your life. Let's keep walking with him. Let's keep serving him. Let's keep believing him. Hallelujah. The Bible says John was a man sent from God. Sent from God. He said, I'm not the Messiah. No. God has sent me before him to prepare the way. And John's attitude was the reason why God would use him in such a great way. He must increase. I must decrease. Thank God that we can grab a hold of that principle and recognize, God, I need you to be more abundant, more powerful, more evident, more visible in my life. And I need to decrease my desires, my hopes, my thoughts, my ambitions. Lord, I want your glory. I want your will. I want your power. Hallelujah. And God did send forth his son. Amen. Not in the way that people would have thought. Born of a virgin? My goodness, that's never happened. But God had his plan, his work. Made under the law, he lived in righteousness because he wanted to redeem those who were under the law. It wasn't destroyed, it was fulfilled. Fulfilled. And when something is fulfilled, it's done. It's taken care of. But God redeemed us from the curse of the law, being made a curse for us. For it is written, and I thank God the prophecies were fulfilled by the Lord, even though it meant pain, even though it meant torture, even though it meant suffering. He came forth to fulfill it. God sent forth his son. He didn't send Jehovah Jr. He didn't send another entity. He didn't send somebody else. God came himself. Amen. Just as Abraham had that lamb promised before Isaac would be sacrificed, he declared God will provide himself a lamb for the sacrifice. And thank God the Lord came himself. That's the degree of his love. That's how tremendous and how wonderful the plan of God is. By his own blood, the Bible says, he obtained eternal redemption. Oh, I'm thankful that Jesus in his flesh, God made flesh, would declare almost 40 times, he sent me. He sent me. He emphasized the fact that he was sent from his Father. I'm thankful he would declare in Luke 4:18, a promise from the scripture of Genesis, or rather Isaiah 61, he hath sent me to heal the brokenhearted. Look at the work that Jesus came to do. Look at how he fulfilled it to the nth degree. He sent me to heal the brokenhearted, to preach deliverance to the captives, recovering of sight to the blind, to set at liberty them that are bruised. Oh, thank God. He was sent to do that, and he fulfilled it again and again. Example after example in the Gospels that we could read how the Lord would have fulfilled that mission and done what the Lord had sent him to do. He told his disciples after he met with that woman at the well in Samaria, he said to them, "My meat is to do the will of him that sent me and to finish his work." He sat there at that well and met with that woman and told her about living water, a well of living water that would spring up into everlasting life. And then he said, "Go and get your husband." She said, "I don't have a husband." "You are right. Then the man you're with now is not your husband. You've had five husbands." Her eyes got big. She wondered, how did he know? She went to the rest of the city and said, "Come see a man that told me all things that ever I did." She could have stomped away offended. She could have been felt so insulted. She could have had all kinds of reason to not return to the one who spoke to her about her life. But she recognized there's something different here. There's something powerful here. And he is the Christ, the Savior of the world. And all that others that came to listen to him told her later, "Now we believe, not because of your word, but because we've heard him ourselves." Thank God you can get your own experience. You can have your own time with the Lord. You can have your own relationship with God. You can hear him yourself and know the truth will make you free. Thank God for the power of the Lord. But the Lord declared when they returned with food and they desired for him to eat, he said, "My meat is to do the will of him that sent me and to finish his work." Thank God there came that moment upon the cross. There came that time when the Lord cried out, "It is finished." And thank God that work is finished. The salvation plan that he desired to display and put into effect is now what you and I can benefit from and you and I can know in its fullness. But the Lord also said to his disciples, "So send I you. I send you forth as lambs among wolves," he said. And they returned with excitement and with joy, "Lord, even the devils are subject unto us through thy name." Oh, I'm thankful the power of the name of Jesus is never diminished. It's not one that it just completely is expelled and we run out and there's no more power, there's no more glory, there's no more strength. No, it keeps going. It keeps being displayed. Every generation can receive it. Every generation can experience it. Every generation can see the power of God. As he said, "As my Father has sent me, so send I you." Thank the Lord for that power and that blessing. You have been sent on a mission with a message. And he breathed on his disciples and said, "Receive ye the Holy Ghost." That promise was given by John the Baptist long before. That promise was given by Jeremiah, by Isaiah, by Ezekiel. Thank God the power of the Lord is still what he desires to fulfill in those prophecies. And God hath sent forth his Spirit. See, that was the focus of the Lord's plan. That was the point that he wanted them to arrive at. That's where he wanted them to go. And so he pointed them to Jerusalem, not once, but several times. The focus was on Jerusalem. He said repentance and remission of sins would be preached in his name, beginning at Jerusalem. He told them to go there, to tarry there until they be endued with power from on high. He said, "You shall receive power after that the Holy Ghost is come upon you, and you shall be witnesses unto me in Jerusalem." And then it would spread from there. Why did he focus on Jerusalem? Why did he declare it would begin there? Praise God, because that's the city of his name. from David's time on through to the to Solomon's time, the building of the temple and so on, all of the aspects of the Lord having placed in Jerusalem. He wanted that new covenant to begin there. He wanted that eternal realm of the church to begin there. Praise God. He told him, don't depart from Jerusalem, but wait for the promise of the Spirit. Praise God. And oh, thank the Lord. They went from the Mount of Olives, where they saw the Lord ascend up on high, and they journeyed to Jerusalem, which the Bible says is about a Sabbath day's journey. They were going to stop measuring things in that way from that point on. They were going to stop having to do the things of the law and that old covenant, because the new covenant was going to be initiated in that place. So they gathered there, 120, including Mary, the mother of Jesus, including the brothers of Jesus. Anticipation was building up. What is going to happen? What is going to be displayed? What is going to take place? But suddenly, on the day of Pentecost, when they were gathered together in that one place, hallelujah, one mind and one accord, suddenly there came a sound from heaven as of a rushing mighty wind, and it filled all the house where they were sitting. Hallelujah. Thank God for all of you sitting today in the house of God. Can you imagine that rushing mighty wind and the sound of that coming into this place? Everybody being aware of it. Everybody being affected by it. Everybody being included in it. Hallelujah. They were all filled with the Holy Ghost and began to speak in other tongues as the Spirit of God gave the utterance. Oh, thank God. The Lord fulfills His promise. The Lord knows how to bring it about. The Lord knows how to include everyone. No one needs to be left out. Thank God for the power of the Lord when the Spirit was sent forth. Amen. And languages were mentioned in Acts 2, 6, and 8. The people who were there saying, we're hearing them speak in our tongues. We're hearing them speak in our languages. How can this be? Because God sent forth the Spirit of His Son. Amen. Abba, Father, the Aramaic and the Hebrew, the Greek. Thank God, the power of the Lord being there as well. We pray for David Gilbert. We're believing God for a healing touch for him. I remember him standing right there, and I heard him speaking in tongues. And every now and then, I would hear, Abba. And he'd go on again, speaking in a language. And then he'd stop, and almost kind of a smile on his face, Abba. And he'd start in again. Hallelujah. Oh, thank God, the power of the Lord is so real. The blessings of God are so powerful. The hand of the Lord is so diligent. Praise God. I'm thankful that the Spirit was sent. In Acts chapter 10, Cornelius sent two of his servants and a soldier from Caesarea to Joppa to send for Peter to come and tell them words, to preach to them, to instruct them, to guide them, to direct them. Peter was up on the rooftop praying, and the Lord sent a vision to him, just as an angel was sent to Cornelius to give him instruction. Thank God both of them were obedient. Thank God both of them listened to what the Lord declared. Oh, I'm so thankful that God knows how to give His will and His instruction to the people of God. And it's up to us whether we want to obey. It's up to us whether we choose to be obedient. And thank God both Cornelius and Peter were obedient to what the Lord sent to them. Peter had a vision that confused him. He wasn't sure what God was speaking to him about, but it was going to become clear because Cornelius was a man who desired the things of the Lord, and God was again going to pour out His Spirit. Hallelujah. The Spirit said to Peter, go with them, doubting nothing. See, that's our problem. We doubt. Even though God speaks very clearly to us, we doubt. We wonder, does that apply to me? Am I included in this? Should I really do this? Is this really God? Oh my, how much clearer can it get? And I'm thankful that the angel spoke to Cornelius, and Cornelius sent his servants and his soldiers. And then Peter was sent because God had a plan. God had a purpose. God had his will. He's going to send his Spirit again. Hallelujah. Thank the Lord for God sending his Spirit over and over. And I'm thankful that in chapter 10 of the book of Acts, Peter reported to those in Jerusalem, letting them know the Spirit told me to go. The Spirit had me sent to them. And six of my brethren went with me. And the Holy Ghost fell on them as on us at the beginning. And the six brethren who went with Peter were astonished, because they heard Cornelius and his household speak in tongues and magnify God, just like they did on the day of Pentecost. Oh, thank God, the sign is still the same. The sign is still supernatural. The sign is still the blessing of the Lord that would come forth. Hallelujah. I taught Brother David exploring God's word. We went through all 12 lessons. He would declare, how could you not have the Holy Ghost? How could you not feel the Spirit of God? I was baptized when I was 7. He would say it over and over, and he didn't get it in those 12 lessons. So I drug another chart out, Light for Living. I went and I taught that Bible study to him. He would declare to others around, saying, oh, those Bible studies were wonderful. We finished with one, and we taught and we started another one. It was kind of the same as the first one, and I wanted to say, because you didn't get it the first time, that's why I had to do it again another way. But thank God, he came to the place where he got the Holy Ghost right here, and he got baptized in the name of Jesus Christ right there. Hallelujah. Oh, thank God for the power of the Lord being displayed as God sends his Spirit forth. Glory to God. Glory to God. Amen. Now, let me ask you, anyone regrets receiving the Holy Ghost? Anyone regret speaking in tongues as the Spirit of God gave the utterance? Anyone regret being baptized in the name above every name for the remission of your sins in the name of Jesus Christ? Anyone regret living for God and having your prayers answered, having your body healed, having your needs met? Anyone regret that? I'm thankful we can sing that old chorus. I'm not sorry. I've answered the Master's call. Jesus took my heavy load. Now I'm on the glory road, and I'm not sorry at all. Hallelujah. Thank God for the power of the Lord, where we can be redeemed. We can be adopted as sons and daughters of God. We can have the Spirit of God within our hearts, crying out, Abba, Father. Hallelujah. We can have Christ in us, the hope of glory. We can have the resurrection power of his Spirit, and the salvation supply of the Spirit of God is going to bring us through. Oh, take a look at Philippians 1 and 19. Let's go ahead and flip there now. Let's go ahead and have it on the screen. It's important for us to understand Philippians 1 and 19 is the promise that God has for you as well. Paul was able to give thanks for it. Paul was able to recognize how God has provided, God has blessed, God has turned my circumstances to salvation through your prayer and the supply of the Spirit of Jesus Christ. Oh, thank God that he sent it forth. Thank God he's still sending it forth. Thank God it's still happening, and it still can be alive within you. I look back to December 1969 and God filling me with the Holy Ghost on a church at Killingsworth. What a name, huh? They named the street Killingsworth. But that's where the church was, and that's where God filled me with the Holy Ghost. Hallelujah. And I look back on that, and I'm so thankful. But I thank God that I have it here flowing in my heart and in my life today. And I don't want it to dry up. I don't want it to go away. I don't want it to be something that I just remember. I want it to be powerful now. I want it to be real now. I want it to be flowing. A river of living water springing up in the everlasting life. I want it to be a well of living water. Hallelujah. And that power of God continuing to come because God sent it forth. Hallelujah. Amen. And that's what the word of the Lord desires us to do. Take a look at the word of the Lord, Isaiah 55 and verse 11. I'm thankful that the power of God is real. Amen. And I like this passage because notice it's double. 55:11. So shall my word be that goeth forth. Oh, God sent it forth. Hallelujah. That goeth forth out of my mouth. It shall not return unto me void, but it shall accomplish that which I please, and it shall prosper in the thing whereto I sent it. Mm-hmm. Let it be, God. Let it happen. Whatever you send to me, let it prosper. Let it accomplish. Let it be your will fulfilled in my life. I can say no. I can say forget it. I can say I've had enough. I can say there's trouble, there's difficulty, there's trials, there's tests, there's all that garbage. But no, I want to say, God, send it again. God, fulfill it again. God, let it never end. God, let it keep coming. Let it keep going. Let it keep sending it. Praise God. And oh, that power of the Lord is going to be there. It will accomplish His will. It will not falter and fail. It will not fall short. Praise God. It's going to come to pass, and it will prosper in the thing whereto He sent it. God's still sending. God's still fulfilling. God's still blessing. Revelation 1 and 1, John is the last of the apostles. He's writing the last book that the apostles would write. He said it sent and signified the revelation that would be made known. God sent it. God signified it. The meaning was made clear. Hallelujah. And we read Revelation and we're not sure what it all means. We read Revelation, we're not sure how it's going to be fulfilled. But understand, friend, God is going to bring it to pass. It was sent, it was signified, and it's going to happen. Hallelujah. Oh, thank God that we can put our trust in the Lord and know that He is going to fulfill it. And then we turn to the end of Galatians 4. The beginning of Galatians 4, the fullness of time was come. The end of Galatians 4, you are children of the promise. You are children of the promise that God made a long time before, and God fulfilled it for you. And God desires to fulfill it right here, September 18th, 2022. God can fulfill it again. Hallelujah. Hallelujah. Amen. Born of the Spirit is what the Scripture says at the end of Galatians 4, because God wants to fulfill it again. Let's stand today. Oh, thank the Lord. Thank the Lord. That fountain is still flowing. That river is still going. That well is still producing. The Bible says, with joy shall ye draw water out of the wells of salvation. Amen. With joy. Not drudgery. Not pain and difficulty. Not sadness and sorrow. No joy. Praise God. Because the Bible lets us know it is joy unspeakable and full of glory. Hallelujah. Hallelujah. And the devil can't stop it. The devil can't hold it back. The devil can't just slow it down and say, oh, no, no, this is all foolishness. This is all ridiculous. This doesn't make sense. It doesn't require it. It's just gibberish. The devil's a liar. The devil's a liar. The father of lies. No truth abides in him. He's a liar and a murderer from the beginning. But thank God we can move into the realm of truth, into the realm of blessing, into the realm of experience, into the realm of a sure foundation that God has provided for us. Hallelujah. Thank the Lord for His goodness. Amen. And thank the Lord children can receive it. Amen. Thank the Lord elders can receive it. Thank the Lord everybody in between can receive it. Amen. And not be sorry and not regret and not feel bad, because God's blessing is abundant and powerful. Hallelujah. Let's come and stand in the altar area. You can kneel if you want to. You can sit on the front bench if you want to. But let's come forward here right now, because we want to signify to the Lord, I'm stepping away from doubt and unbelief. I'm stepping away from disobedience and undiscipline. And I'm moving forward, God. I'm moving forward in you. I'm moving forward to the blessing that you have for me. Leaving behind the old life, and I'm stepping into the new life, God, that you have right now. Oh, let's thank the Lord together for his love and mercy. Let's thank the Lord together for his goodness and grace. Shukuyakek.